Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to today's Uni-Select announcement conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Hélène Barry. Please go ahead, Ms. Barry.
Good morning or good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining us today. This morning, Uni-Select issued a press release announcing the acquisition of the Parts Alliance, a leading automotive aftermarket parts distributor in the UK. To provide you an overview of the transaction are Henry Buckley, President and CEO, and Éric Butière, CFO. Following their comments, we will open the call for questions. Henry is joining us from London this morning, so please bear with us as we manage the audio between the two locations. Please note that all documents referred to in today's conference call, including this webcast presentation, can be found on our website at uniselect.com in the Investors section. As noted on slide 2, I would like to remind you that a caution regarding forward-looking statements applies to our presentation and comments. All amounts are expressed in U.S. dollars, except as otherwise specified. With that, let me turn the presentation over to Eric.
Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. I would like to invite you to go to slide 5. I am very pleased to announce that, subject to regulatory approval, Uni-Select has agreed to acquire 100% of PA Topco Limited, doing business as the Part Alliance, a UK leader in the distribution of automotive aftermarket parts, for a transaction value of approximately £205 million or $265 million US dollar equivalent. The transaction is on a cash-free, debt-free basis and will be fully funded by debt that was underwritten by National Bank of Canada and Royal Bank of Canada. The transaction will be financed through a term loan of $100 million and an upsized credit facility by which we will draw $165 million, and our facility will now become a $525 million credit revolver. The transaction was also hedged, and we have put an instrument in place to protect us to a maximum purchase price. The estimated sales of the entity is $280 million on a run rate basis. This would represent 20% of Uni-Select combined top line. Expected to be immediately accretive to adjusted EBITDA and EPS post-transaction. The run rate on an EBITDA basis is set at £21 million. The estimated purchase price multiple is 9.7 times on a run rate adjusted EBITDA basis. The combined leverage of Uni-Select post-transaction would be approximately 3.5 times debt to EBITDA. The transaction was approved by both board of directors of Uni-Select and Parts Alliance. The transaction is subject to regulatory approval, and we expect the transaction to close in Q3 2017. I would like to transfer now the call to Henry. Henry?
Great. Thank you, Eric, and good morning and good afternoon, everyone. Please turn to slide 7. So this is an extraordinarily exciting day for our company. Uni-Select is all about profitable growth and value creation. For the past 2 years, we've been aggressively pursuing the best opportunities in our Canadian and U.S. businesses while assessing growth options beyond these two markets. In line with our strategy, we've been looking actively for an attractive new market with high consolidation potential to establish a third pillar for Uni-Select and a broader base for our future growth outside North America. The transaction announced today opens a new avenue for growth for our company in a vast new geographic market. The UK is the fourth largest parts aftermarket in Europe and the most fragmented, with the top three distributors holding 38% market share and everyone else far behind. At close to £4.1 billion, this addressable market is nearly the size of the two North American markets we currently serve. The aging of the cars in service today and the mandatory inspections when vehicles are 3 years old provides a strong tailwind for future growth. We have selected the UK as our best entry point into Europe and identified an acquisition target that gives us a solid leadership position going in and a growing national footprint and significant operational scale. We wanted a like-minded partner with a successful track record of driving profitable growth, both organic and acquisitive. And we wanted a good fit in terms of business profile and culture. The UK represents an attractive market in terms of market size and opportunity for market share gain. The size of the market, coupled with the increasing age of the car park, plus a mandate of frequent government inspections, provide robust market dynamics. I'm thrilled to say we found all that and more in the Parts Alliance. I've had a chance to meet a number of their leaders and branch team members, and this is truly a natural fit with both our culture and our business. They are number two in the UK with 161 stores, company-owned stores, for a 7% market share. The Parts Alliance network, including their 38 affiliated stores, covers 85% of the territory, including Scotland and Ireland. They have a proven track record of growing both organically and through acquisitions. Their foundation is solid with robust information technology and proprietary systems for driving sales growth. Their support teams couple with their field teams to deliver best-in-class customer service. This is truly a customer-obsessed company that is highly focused on their internal team members. There are more similarities than differences between the aftermarket parts business in the UK and North America, especially with their Canadian automotive group. Their business model focuses on delivering national and private brand automotive parts to both independent garages and national account customers. So now let's turn to slide 8. As you can see by the chart on the left, the UK market is one of the largest and most fragmented in Europe. The top three players have 38% share, leaving a considerable opportunity for further industry consolidation and market growth. In terms of market dynamics, the UK car park is aging, driving significant demand for aftermarket parts. It's further supported by frequent mandatory inspections. So let's turn to slide 9. The Parts Alliance is a company delivering profitable growth. Through a combination of organic and acquisitive growth initiatives, they have proven their abilities as a team and a company in delivering results. They are the number two player in the UK market and gaining market share. Their network of 161 stores is growing. Their focus is to continue to grow the company-owned store count, coupled with adding additional independent members to the Parts Alliance network. The growth initiatives are fully supported by key central services such as technology, procurement, and supply chain with two distribution centers. The Parts Alliance branding strategy is dedicated to being the local supplier of choice while utilizing the strength of a national distribution network. This has proven to be highly successful and will continue. Now, let's turn to slide 10. Now, let's have a look at Uniselect overall. Today, we are number one in the USA in the paint, body, and equipment segment. We're number two in Canada in the automotive after-parts segment. Now, with Parts Alliance, we are the number two player in the UK automotive aftermarket parts. These are truly very special positions to have in large and important markets, all with significant growth potential. Both companies have a successful track record of M&A and integrations. Both companies have a significant company-owned store networks. Additionally, our Canadian Automotive Group has a long and rich history of supporting independent automotive jobber customers. Parts Alliance has that same core competency. Let's turn to slide 11. As you can see by the map, the Parts Alliance has very strong coverage in the UK. These locations are supported with multiple times a day delivery from local stores, utilizing the fleet of delivery vehicles to serve over 23,000 customers nationally. Well, let's turn to slide 12. As I noted earlier, the Parts Alliance is UK's local provider of automotive parts. This is a critical strategy as you acquire local jobbers and integrate them into the group. You add all the key differentiating factors like key product lines and systems, but you retain those team members and customer relationships locally. A dual branding strategy has been adopted by the Parts Alliance Group and is working exceptionally well. The Parts Alliance has a number of key independent members serving important markets. And finally, their product strategy is the same as ours. They support national brands, and they add complementary private brand products to their product mix. The Parts Alliance has done a terrific job building a good stable of both national brands and private brand products. Now let's turn to slide 13. One of the really true key differentiating factors of Parts Alliance is their proprietary systems that the Parts Alliance has developed to support both company-owned stores and independent affiliated customer stores. That system, Alicat, is highly recognized as being world-class in markets and truly enables the stores to better serve customers. Additionally, they've taken that same capability right down to the shop level with the GS one-stop systems to support the garage operator. These are truly exceptional systems in place today and are highly scalable for us. Turning to slide 14, like any great company, the key is always the team. Parts Alliance has an exceptionally strong leadership team led by Peter Sefton. This team has done a terrific job building and growing a high-performing business based on a shared core value similar to ours, which is building the best team in the business. I've had the opportunity to witness this firsthand, and we are very fortunate to have all of them joining our team today as we continue the journey together. I would now like to turn the call over to Eric to discuss a number of things, including financials.
Thank you, Henry. I'd like to invite you to page 15. The Parts Alliance management team completed 7 acquisitions over the last 7 years, or over the last 4 years, apologies, representing more than 120 million pounds of sales. As you can see in the table on page 15, the size of those acquisitions has varied from 69 stores when they acquired the GSS car parts to about 3 stores in Waterloo. So similar to what Uniselect have been doing over the last 2 years with their various operations. I would like now to invite you to page 16. The proven ability to grow earnings faster than revenue is demonstrated by the charts below, with a CAGR of growth of revenue of 37% from 2014 to 2017, and an adjusted EBITDA growth of 89% that clearly demonstrate the leverage in the business. The management team of Parts Alliance also estimates that the core organic growth of the business has been growing at approximately 4% per year. I would like to invite you now to page 18. What does it mean for Uniselect, this latest acquisition? Well, on a combined basis, Uniselect will have over $1.5 billion of revenue. The EBITDA combined will be roughly $129 million, and the adjusted EBITDA is expected to be around $132 million. The combined EBITDA margin on an adjusted basis will be approximately 8.4% EBITDA margin. Total estimated debt post-transaction is estimated to be at $464 million. This will provide us with a leverage ratio of 3.5 times debt to EBITDA. We will also keep about $168 million of credit facility available to us thereafter. Total number of stores operated by the group will reach 437 stores, 16 distribution centers, and our reach to customer will almost double with 45,000 customers overall. Please move to page 19. As of end of March, we had approximately $208 million of credit facility available to us. With the increased revolver by $125 million and securing a term loan of $100 million, the combination of our upsized revolver and the term loan will allow us to fund the purchase price of about $265 million, leaving, as I mentioned earlier, $168 million of credit facility available to us. The combined leverage at closing should be around 3.5 times, and we have a strong operating cash flow with over $130 million of adjusted EBITDA. This cash flow will allow us to rapidly deleverage over time, and at the same time, the structure of our facility provides us sufficient flexibility to continue to do selective tuck-ons as time goes by. In conclusion, I would like to turn over the call to Henry.
Great. Thank you, Eric. Now, turning to slide 21, I'd like to summarize. We have spent an extensive amount of time running our business, but at the same time, we've also been looking to the future to establish a third pillar for growth. After assessing numerous options, we have selected the UK as a promising and similar market to diversify into. This is a fragmented market offering significant growth potential. Once you establish that, it's then about finding the right vehicle or partner. The Parts Alliance, with a number 2 market position and a 7% market share, provides an ideal vehicle for us. It provides an opportunity for us to expand further into select markets in Europe in the future should the right situation arise. But I want to be clear, we are very focused on the UK at this time. Finally, the Parts Alliance is in an ideal situation for us with a very seasoned management team who are all staying in place to help us grow together. This is a high-performing team, and the combination of Uniselect and their team is a terrific fit. So let's turn to the final slide, 22. I think this slide really shows the opportunity ahead very nicely. We have a very significant leadership positions in both our current markets. When you look to the right, the Parts Alliance already achieves what we've been looking for. They're number two in a very large market, $4.1 billion with a 7% market share. A third growth pillar for us in both a large and growing market with a leading company, significant upside to gain share. Now, underlying all of this, I want to make sure we're all clear. We have a robust pipeline in all three, acquisition pipeline in all three of our current markets. So we're very, very pleased today with the additional third growth pillar and welcoming all of the Parts Alliance family to the Uniselect family. So with that, operator, I'd like to turn the call over to questions, please.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. The first question is from Benoit Poirier from Desjardins Capital Markets. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hey, congratulations, Henry and Eric, for the transaction. Good morning.
Great. Good morning, Benoit.
Yeah. Could you maybe start with how this opportunity came about and the reason for the sale of a Parts Alliance?
Yeah, so I think the easy way to say it, the Parts Alliance was owned by private equity. So private equity, HG Capital, has been a very, very good partner. I've had the chance to get to know them over the last number of months. So they've done a very good job working with the Parts Alliance company in the UK. They've really established a strong team. They've built up a great business. And the leadership team has really taken charge and started to grow the business nicely. But like all private equity, they have an entry point and they have an exit point. And for this group, they've owned the Parts Alliance for about 5 years. And this was their exit point. And they plan to put this company on the market in the coming months. I think we're very, very fortunate. You know, I got the chance to know Peter, their CFO, at the Vegas show down at SEMA. That's the automotive aftermarket show. It's SEMA in Vegas every year. And with that, we sparked up an interest in both companies to see where the fit was, and we've been steadily exploring that on a consistent basis ever since. So, again, we were looking for something in terms of a strong growth pillar. We were excited about the UK, and then when we looked at it, this was just a terrific natural fit for us. So I think, you know, the private equity exit is expected. We are very fortunate, quite frankly, to do a preemptive event here, and what became very, very clear to us was the fit between our two businesses. And I just didn't see that. Peter and his team, and in fact, HG Capital felt the same way, which is why we went down the path we did.
Okay. And when we look at the adjusted EBITDA margin, 7.5%, it seems the business model is around corporate store. So what can you tell about how Parts Alliance margins compare to peers in the UK and also what kind of synergies you could implement going forward?
You know, I think there's a combination of things at play here. One is that they have a growing corporate store network, and they have affiliated independents. So their model is slightly different than the Canadian model in that the affiliated independents are part of a buying group, if you will, but they are not supported by the Parts Alliance distribution warehouses. So there's a different margin profile in the business, and, you know, we believe that margin profile to be similar to our competitors at the store level. Like any other market, it's a very, very competitive market. So, you know, we see that as, you know, kind of a core, strong operating business. In terms of synergies, we're really looking forward on this business. We may have some synergies we haven't modeled in on the product side, but we're really looking to grow the business. And what we've seen is the demonstrated ability for this company to acquire bolt-on, tuck-in businesses at a lower rate than what we're paying for this company. So there's a huge opportunity for us to continue to scale this business and grow the business by adding tuck-in acquisitions.
Okay, perfect. And what can you say in terms of integration? I mean, they've done 7 acquisitions, so I was just wondering if it would require any big integration costs, such as an ERP system that would be put in place.
Yeah, that's a good question, Benoit. We're very happy with their technology. In fact, one of the reasons why we're so excited about it, even at the outset, is we looked at their ability of the Alicat system and their GS1 stop systems to really outperform the competitors in the market. And I had the chance to meet with a number of larger customers, and they all echoed that same point. So I think they've got a solid foundation there. Their team's in place. We don't need to go out and install people in from North America. The exact opposite. We're extraordinarily happy to have all of their team members in place, ready to go. Their infrastructure is set today, and it is scalable. And their track record so far in acquisitions has been very good. They acquire them, they integrate them, and as I think I shared in the presentation, they retain that local flavor and branding, and they couple it with Parts Alliance. But what they do is they're able to help accelerate the growth of those businesses by adding product lines to it. So that's something they've seen significant organic growth as they've acquired and integrated those businesses into the family.
Okay, perfect. And last one for me. When we look at your flexibility on a pro forma basis, you'll be around 3.5 times. So I was wondering, does it give you some flexibility to do a further acquisition? And is the focus now on growing the UK market? And does it put your industrial paint strategy on the back burner?
Well, let me answer the second question first, and I'll pass it over to Eric. The second point, really, we're not stopping anything. We've got the big organic growth initiative within FinishMaster, as we all know, is that industrial strategy, and that's far from stopping, quite frankly, and along with the continued focus on our overall refinish business at FinishMaster. So nothing is stopping in that realm at all. When you go to Canada, I'm very happy with where we are in the transformation. We have got a high-performing business today, and, you know, that's something that we're getting more and more excited about, and the runway for growth there, both with bolt-on acquisitions, continues. But we're growing both the independent segment in Canada now, and we're growing the corporate store performance. So very, very happy with those. They continue. This isn't a shift. This is really what we're talking about is the third growth pillar. It really gives us a runway for future growth, and now we have the opportunity to have 3 vehicles on the road to be able to accelerate growth with, profitable growth within Uni-Select. So we're very excited about that. Eric, maybe I'll throw it to you on the financial side.
Sure. Like you said, Benoit, so our leverage is about 3.5 times upon closing. And as you know, the combined entity will generate over $130 million of EBITDA. And we have, in addition, we have a credit facility with availability of about $168 million. So plenty of flexibility to continue to do those tuck-ons as they come. And as you know, we've been selective in the past and we'll continue to be selective on those acquisitions in order to make it accretive for the shareholders.
Okay. Congrats and thanks for the time.
Thank you, Benoit.
Thanks, Benoit.
Thank you. The next question is from Anthony Zeker from Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen, and congrats on this fantastic deal.
Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. Could you give us a bit more color, Henry? By making this deal, will there be any benefit to the Canadian aftermarket operations, like certain expertise that you could export from the UK into the Canadian operations? We know that, you know, on apples-to-apples basis, the margins obviously are higher in the UK than on the Canadian aftermarket side. So would there be any benefit in bringing some of that expertise over, or can you do that?
Yeah, I think there's a few things that go both ways. So as we grow the scale in our automotive business again, and, you know, we left the U.S. automotive market for all the reasons we all know and understand today, which are not there in the U.K. In the U.K., we have a strong position, and we've got a great platform that's performing well. And one of the things that I want to make sure that we share is that proprietary system that they have over at Parts Alliance. They've got a great system there that really services both the independent customers, the independent garages, and the national accounts extremely well. So I think there's lots of stuff that we can learn in that zone and bring that to Canada. I would also say that, you know, one of the things that we're looking to do as we move forward in Canada is to extend our reach and position in the import parts market. Mm-hmm. So parts for import vehicles, I think we're okay. We're decent at it today, but I think we have a big upside as we move forward in Canada to really position ourselves at a higher level in terms of servicing those import car markets. And the UK Business and Parts Alliance obviously really knows that inside out. And I think the combination of those two things are very, very helpful. I think you'll also see some stuff as we work on our private brands, the buying power between the two companies now accelerates, and the quality of the two products. They've got a very similar approach to us, looking for not low-end products, but high, middle to high-end private label products. I think, you know, you combine those two focuses, Canada and in the UK, we're going to accelerate performance in that arena as well.
Okay, super. And, you know, running the corporate stores, is it expected to be different in the UK than in Canada, or is it going to be pretty much the same? Or, you know, even if you look back at your Grainger days, would it be different? Can you give us a bit more color on the operations of those individual stores?
Yeah, I think there's a few things at play here. Canada is in the infancy, but I'm very happy with the way we are today. We've put the right team members in place, and it's always about having people who know how to run and operate stores. I mean, that's just a different dynamic than running and operating a warehouse distributor model. So, you know, very happy in Canada today. They've still got a runway to grow. What you have over in the UK is that is their business. They don't operate as a warehouse distributor. They operate corporate store groups. So I'll give you an example. As I went into every store I visited, undercover, by the way, they all had significant telephony advantages. So they had a board on there that told how many calls were coming in, how long the wait times were, who was it, et cetera. So they had a very, very robust telephony system. And you couple that with their Alicat proprietary systems, they're able to service customers, I think, better than we can do today in the Canadian marketplace. Now, we're in the infancy. We're just putting Parts Watch in Canada. But you sort of put these two things together, I think there is scalability in both sides of the, you know, both sides of the pond, if you will.
Okay. And one last question, Henry. You know, when you talk about the highly fragmented nature of the UK market, what parallels can you draw with the North American market? And can you give us a bit of granularity in terms of the growth rates? How is that market growing? Is it still steady, or is it accelerating because of the Brexit? You know, are people holding on more to their cars, or the consumers a bit more? And lastly, in terms of FinishMaster expertise, can you lever that into that network of the UK operations? Thank you.
Yeah, those are all good questions. You know, to start off with, you look at the market is growing, and it's growing for the dynamic of the aging car park as a primary factor. I mean, Brexit is there for sure, but, you know, we don't believe that people are going to move off the country and the car population is going to go down at this point. We've got an aging car population, which is, a key dynamic for us as we look at that. Then you look at the competitive set in the country. And at number two, 7%, that is such a huge runway in a fragmented market. The number one player is a company called Europarts. They're owned by LKQ, good company, done a great job. But you know they're starting to get to the critical mass where they're going to have trouble extending their growth in the UK specifically, and we already see them going to other parts of Europe. So behind the Parts Alliance, there's nobody coming up behind them ready to jump them through acquisitions, et cetera. So that leaves you a very strong opportunity to consolidate the fragmented market that's ahead of them, between them and their number one competitor. So I would see an opportunity to significantly increase that market share from 7% well northward. So a very good market dynamic sitting there.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, and congratulations again.
Great. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you. The next question is from Sarah O'Brien from RBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Morning, Sarah.
Can you comment on just a little push on that synergy from technology? Do you expect that, you know, applying Alicat or the GS1 system would enable you to save on what you'd planned in Canada so far for your corporate stores?
I don't think it's a saving, because at the end of the day, what we're talking about sort of two different things in a lot of ways. We have some systems now that with PartsWatch, we're just deploying as a standard point-of-sale system. We're not going to stop that and deploy something else. But what we have is something that could bolt on and augment our capabilities in Canada. And they're slightly different markets in terms of the vehicle registration ability and whatnot, Canada to the UK. But what we're saying, there's an opportunity once we get our platform installed in Canada with PartsWatch to be able to accelerate the capabilities of our systems by utilizing their technology. So that's something that, you know, we're obviously going to get deeper into as we move to close on this transaction.
Okay. And can you talk about, I know there's excess credit available for tuck-in acquisitions, but what's the debt comfort level, and would you consider issuing equity if there were another deal that came up in Canada or the U.S.?
Well, so sorry, Eric. As I mentioned, we are generating a healthy cash flow, and my expectation is that cash flow will help us deleverage over time, and it will not preclude us of doing tuck-on acquisitions. Obviously, if something material were to come, then we'll revisit that strategy at that point. But, again, we'll cross that bridge if that happens.
Okay. And is there a threshold, though, at which you would not go beyond, like 4x or 4.5x?
Well, I think as Henry, I've indicated, and myself in the past, we always said that we would be willing to stretch ourselves to 3 to 3.5x, which we are doing by doing that transaction. Could we go a little bit north of that? Maybe. As I said, I'm quite happy with the cash flow that we're generating, and I expect a fairly rapid deleveraging, which will give us the maneuvering and the room, sufficient room to continue to do and execute on our plan.
Okay. And then can you comment on the cash flow generation in the past 3 years for Parts Alliance? What's that been like, the free cash flow?
Yeah, so approximately 60 to 70% of the EBITDA is converted into cash. I mean, it's a rolled-up strategy, and you'll see the revenue profile on page 16 of our 17 of our presentation. I mean, it does give you a good idea that company has been a roll-up of companies. And so the most of the cash has been redirected in the business to finance new acquisitions. I mean, that's essentially what the proceeds of excess cash will have been used by Parts Alliance. And you know, what's interesting for me is they've been really, truly capable of leveraging their growth and their profits. If you look at the growth that they did on the EBITDA versus the growth of revenue, it's quite stunning the leverage they've been able to put in the business.
Okay. But on a free cash flow basis, before, you know, investing in new acquisitions, is their conversion rate similar to yours?
It was slightly lower than ours, if you look at it from a combined Uniselect perspective, but pretty healthy.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
The next question is from Michael Glenn from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning.
Hey, Michael.
Can you just circle back and just speak to, because I'm just trying to maybe get a better understanding of this myself, is the decision to grow into the UK versus pursue the growth strategies that you've kind of outlined in the US and Canada. I'm just trying to get a sense. Do you think that the M&A opportunity set in North America is effectively done for the company now?
Yeah, Michael, I think I tried to say that again on the last slide there. Not at all. That's 180 degrees from where our head's at. We've got a very good runway, as we've demonstrated in the U.S. We're also now focusing on not just tuck-in acquisitions, but accelerating both organic growth initiatives and industrial. So we've got lots of runway to grow at FinishMaster in the USA. In Canada, we're only at the beginning of our journey in terms of corporate stores and independent growth, and we're happy to prove that over time. Like I said, we've got probably a backlog when it comes to the tuck-in acquisitions, and I've said we want to walk before we run in Canada. That means I want to make sure that we have that system in place, the PartsWatch system, and I think on our last calls we've said very clearly, you know, right now we have 56 corporate stores in Canada, 49 of Bumper to Bumper, 7 of FinishMaster. We're trying to get as far ahead on the Parts Alliance deployment, which we have planned the majority of those 56 to be implemented this year, to get those put onto PartsWatch. You know, we're going to continue to acquire in the Canadian business, But we'll accelerate that acquisition pipeline once that foundation is a little farther along. So you're going to see continued growth in Canada. We're nowhere near done in either one of these two businesses. Our whole strategy here, as we said from the outset, was to look at this whole business. We had three growth pillars before. We had Canada, we had FinishMaster, and then we had the automotive segment in the U.S. We combined the automotive Canada-U.S. segment, but we really had three businesses there, of course. So we sold the one segment, which was a big U.S. market, for obvious reasons, number five player in that market, really hard to gain share in that business. So we went looking in the marketplace to say, all right, we have two great growth vehicles. What can we do in the future? Because we're not just looking at the next 2 years. We're looking at the next 3, 5, and 10 years. Where can we go? How are the markets changing? And how do we want to position ourselves to deliver growth in the future, not just in the next quarter, the next 12 months? We're looking for the future. So these opportunities don't come around very often. And as we assessed all the markets, the UK market became very apparent in terms of the opportunity for growth in that particular market. And then you couple that with an opportunity to acquire Parts Alliance. That doesn't come up all the time. If that company got bought by another strategic, that's off the table. And then you're starting from way behind. So our view is we wanted to make sure, like in Canada, we're number two in Canada, we're number one at FinishMaster in the USA, and then at the in the UK, we were very fortunate to find a position to be able to take the number two market position in the country with 7% share that allows us this big upside. So really, this is about building a company for the future, not for the next quarter. I've told everyone I'm not looking at the quarter. I'm interested in it. We're working very hard and making sure we're delivering our results, but we're building this business for the short, the medium, and the long term.
And when exactly did UniSelect identify the UK market as a potential place of entry?
We've been working on this strategy since we exited the U.S. business, quite frankly. We accelerated the U.S. talks with this particular target, Parts Alliance, last November. So this has been going on for a while, but our assessment of the markets has been going on literally from both the business level and the board level for the past 2 years since we divested the U.S. auto parts.
Okay, and given private equity ownership, I would be under the impression that this transaction was fairly widely shopped.
That was what I was mentioning on the call, Michael, is that it was going to be shopped. It was it was going to go through a process. I wouldn't call it shop, but it was going to go through the standard private equity process. But given our networking and the chance that we had to be able to connect with the Parts Alliance leaders, Peter in particular, we were able to get a situation where we preempted that process.
Okay.
So should we not have been as successful, we would have gone to process, yes.
Okay. And to be clear, we should anticipate that capital deployment, the priority for capital deployment over the, call it, next 18 months, we should think of that going into the UK from an M&A perspective.
I wouldn't assume that. That's, we've got three great businesses, and we're going to make sure that we deploy capital where the best opportunities are. I would absolutely say we're going to continue to invest in the UK. They have a strong pipeline in the UK, and we want to make sure that we grow this business. It's a great opportunity. We want to make sure that with three growth engines or vehicles, we make sure we look at all of those opportunities on an independent basis and make sure we deploy where it makes sense. So,
okay.
It's a matter of one on, two off. It's a matter of three are on, and we'll make sure we look at the opportunities individually.
And just one more. When I look at the pro forma run rates in the press release, it looks like that most recent deal that Parts Alliance did, it looks like the EBITDA margin was over 20%. Is that accurate?
No, I think that you're reading more into it than what it is, because the run rate is a combination of a number of things. Prior acquisitions done in their fiscal year 2017, the acquisition that they closed not too long ago, operational efficiencies that they've been able to implement. So it's not just one thing, Michael.
Okay, thanks. I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Michael.
Thank you. The next question is from Elizabeth Johnston from Laurentian Bank Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
Just continuing on the topic of EBITDA margin, it looks like the margin has improved over the last few years for Parts Alliance. Can you talk about the different initiatives that have been undertaken to improve the margin there?
Well, it's a couple of things, Elizabeth. First, obviously, they had to create a critical mass. So HG Capital invested into a management team, invested into doing a roll-up. So at the very beginning, obviously, you don't have the same leverage when you start the business, so to speak, on a roll-up basis. So there's definitely an element of size that helps. Peter and Neil, the CFO, have been very disciplined in the acquisitions and the selection process of those acquisitions, and they've been very successful in integrating and getting the synergies. Parts Alliance is also part of a buying group, and they've been a leader in that buying group, and that has also additional benefits to the overall entity in terms of ability to buy at a better price. So they've been working on pretty much all the levers that you can work to improve that profitability over time.
So do you think there's further upside in terms of margin going forward from the 7.5% level that we talked about?
Yes, I think we all believe that there is room for margin expansion over time. As we said, the organic growth of the business has been quite interesting. The car park is relatively young compared to the car park age in North America. So as you know, our business in the auto parts business is an interesting business because as the age fleet increase, it's all good for our businesses. So that's something that we certainly see as a long-term upside and a fundamental element that makes this acquisition quite compelling.
And you just mentioned the organic growth. Can you give us a sense of what kind of organic growth levels the company has been able to achieve recently?
Yeah, the management team estimate, the Parts Alliance management team estimate the organic growth to be around 4%.
Okay, and just turning to the model of the business, the affiliated stores, can you just run through again how this process works? So there are corporate stores, affiliated stores, and then other stores that are served by Parts Alliance, is that correct?
Well, yeah, so where the business model is a little bit different than in Canada. As you know, in Canada, we have members and we service our members through their warehouse and through our direct purchases. In the case of Parts Alliance, the other members are part of the buying group that I mentioned earlier on, but they do not go through their warehouse part of Parts Alliance. And revenue associated with the members' purchases are not recognized under Parts Alliance since Parts Alliance is not in the chain of title of those purchases. So the sales figure that we gave you is truly the corporate stores and the DCs that Parts Alliance operate, and it is not linked to the members who are doing purchases on their own account through a buying group that is led by Parts Alliance. So that's the nuance. Now, having said that, the members and Parts Alliance works very closely through this buying group and has developed joint technology. In fact, if you take GSS One Stop, it's something that's been developed by the members and Parts Alliance. And the Allocat system has been improved and grown also through this consortium.
And there are two distribution centers in the UK. Do you view that as a good number, or do you expect to have to make additional investments in distribution centers?
No, we don't expect any additional major investment in the distribution center per se. I mean, their business model and the UK geography being a little bit different than Canada, what they have is sort of a what I call superstores that act more or less as a hub and spoke type concept. So they are allowed they can actually service other stores from a major store on top of the two distribution centers they have. I think one nuance is the geography and the density of the population versus the Canadian market. So, you know, in Canada, you'll have stores that service members or customers in a fairly remote geographic standpoint on a mileage basis. In the UK, I mean, you have some branches that the radius they serve is no more than 4 miles. So it is a different business model, and you've got to understand that if you're in London or London area, anybody that went to London understand the density of traffic, so therefore you need a higher number of branches to service a market. And the other interesting feature is they also don't deliver just by trucks or cars, they also use motorcycle to make deliveries.
Okay, great. And just further on that note, do you anticipate having any meaningful CapEx in this business over the next year?
Parts Alliance CapEx for their fiscal year 2018 that started May 1st is approximately £4 million. So I mean that's what they have in their plan for 2018, we will also do some small investments here and there, but you know, overall it's about a £4 to 5 million investment for 2018, their fiscal year 2018.
Okay, and finally for me, just in terms of typical purchase price multiples, and you've talked about ranges we've seen usually in the U.S. and Canada. In terms of the range of multiples in the U.K., do you find it differs from North America?
Look, I think that Parts Alliance has been able to do acquisition at very interesting multiples in the past, and that's certainly part of the opportunity for us because we do believe that there are opportunities to do acquisition at very compelling multiples in the U.K. market.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thank you. The next question is from Benoit Poirier. Please go ahead.
Hey, Benoit.
Hello?
Benoit, are you on the line?
Sorry. Okay, so...
you were talking on mute, weren't you, Benoit? Yeah.
No, sorry, guys. Could you maybe provide a breakdown between retail and commercial at the Parts Alliance?
Yeah, Parts Alliance is not a retail player. They have a very small retail business, very, very little. They are a commercial player at heart. They have probably less retail business than we do in our Canadian segment, single digits, very low single digits.
Wow, okay, that's great. And when you say accretive on the adjusted EPS basis, could you maybe provide more color about the magnitude and how would you define an adjusted EPS basis, Eric?
Yeah, well, so Benoit, there's a little bit more work to be done because, as you know, Parts Alliance report numbers under UK GAAP. So there are some nuances between UK GAAP and IFRS, and we're right now working on that conversion. What I can tell you is the conversion from UK GAAP to IFRS will be beneficial, but I can already tell you that on a UK GAAP basis, we have the comfort that the transaction is accretive and I would say upside, so to speak, linked to the conversion to IFRS, just because the way under IFRS, you're not allowed, as you know, to depreciate goodwill. In UK GAAP, you can. Lease treatments are a little bit different between UK GAAP and IFRS. And under IFRS, you cannot capitalize transaction costs. Under UK GAAP, you can. So there are some differences here in terms of GAAP. And therefore we need to complete that work to provide you a more accurate figure in terms of level of accretion. And the other aspect for 2017, it will all depend on what date the transaction actually closes.
Okay. And is there any tax loss carry forward that you can lever?
Yeah, there is some. So there is some available, and obviously that's part of the appealing of a group that is reaching profitability and will be profitable going forward.
Okay. And with respect to the book value of Parts Alliance, could you maybe mention the number, quantify, and also what it will create in terms of goodwill and tangible?
So in terms of goodwill, it's about $170 million that you would expect for Uniselect to have in terms of goodwill, Benoit. So I think that's the real question behind all that, right?
Okay, so the total number with your current goodwill will be a total of $170 million.
No. The additional goodwill coming from that acquisition that will be put in Uniselect books is approximately $170 million.
Okay, perfect. Okay, perfect. And any restructuring charge to be taken as you integrate Parts Alliance?
No, very little. I think what you'll find out, though, is transaction costs and the hedging strategy are one-time type items that we'll disclose in more details in terms of quantum. But there are, as you know, we've done a number of acquisitions over the last 2 years. None of those have been treated as exceptional items. In this transaction, it's a different size, different dollar amounts involved, and therefore will be treated on a separate basis.
Okay, perfect. Thanks for the time again.
Thank you, Benoit.
Thanks, Benoit. Just to be clear for everybody, integration, this is not an integration per se. This is the third leg of our strategy. So the entire leadership team, the management team over there stays in place. We're not injecting IT systems. We're not injecting people. We're trying to help accelerate an already strong business.
Thank you. The next question is from Michael Glenn from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Okay, thanks for taking the follow-up. Henry, just on that last point, to be clear, the CEO of Parts Alliance, he will report directly to you then?
Yeah, exactly. So what we have is right now our structure is very simple, as you know. We have six people on the leadership team today. Myself, the two operating presidents for Canada and for FinishMaster. Then we have our CFO and Eric. We have chief people and chief legal officers and Annie and Louis. So we already have that core team. And then Peter Sefton, as CEO for the UK business, will just add one more to that direct report list. So we'll have the three operating presidents, and then we'll have the support team I mentioned.
Okay, and then just to circle back on the balance sheet, 3.5 times leverage. I mean, so you're comfortable with that degree of leverage. You don't foresee it. At what point should we start to think of you going out and seeking some sort of equity financing from a leverage standpoint?
So as I said, Michael, already, right, we generate a healthy EBITDA of about $130 million on a combined basis. We have $168 million or about of credit facility available to us. We feel that we have more than adequate financial flexibility to continue to do tuck-ons. And if ever the situation warranted or a transaction justify it, then we'll revisit our option at that point.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. The next question is from Elizabeth Johnston from Laurentian Bank Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a quick follow-up here. Just in terms of the management, you highlighted just a minute ago the additions that from Parts Alliance that are staying with Uniselect. Are the key management members part of a long-term contract?
Yeah, so we have agreements with the leadership team in place there, particularly the CFO and CEO. I can tell you, you know, we're going to be bringing Peter to Montreal and Toronto next week. So anybody want to have a chance to meet him, we're happy to do that. They're committed to helping us grow this business for the longer term. So, yes, we have, good agreements in place, but we also have, and I've met the leadership team in place at Parts Alliance. They are very, very excited about this opportunity. They see this as a great fit. And if you think about where they sit from in private equity, they knew this was going to come at some point, as everybody does. And their hope is always to have a strategic buyer or trade buyer, as they would call it, that is a good fit strategically with them, that will, you know, come in and help them grow their business as opposed to come in and take over and do their job for them. So I think in just about every level, this is a good fit for them, and it's a very good fit for us, and we have a highly engaged team here in the UK now and looking forward to it.
Okay, and just finally for me, just since the OB3 segment, are you going to report the UK business as a separate segment, much like Canada Automotive and US FinishMaster?
Yeah, so this Parts Alliance will be reporting as a separate segment. So, directly speaking, we'll have the U.S. operation, the Canadian operation, and the U.K. operation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you,
Elizabeth.
There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting back to Mr. Henry Buckley. Please go ahead, sir.
Great. Thank you so much. I just want to say to everyone, you know, obviously, this is a very, very exciting day for us. And, you know, as I look back on the course, I've had a lot of time to get to used to this this situation, this transaction. I could not be any more proud of a couple of things. One is how our team has performed throughout it. And I want to thank our team for helping us deliver this transaction in the way they did. It's about the what and it's about the how. And I couldn't be more proud of our team. Secondly, I couldn't be more excited for the future of this business. The Parts Alliance is truly an ideal fit for our business, both in terms of the culture of their business and the runway and the opportunity for growth it provides all of us together. And I mean that by Uniselect and the Parts Alliance team members in there in that business. This is one of those transformational deals. I think you guys have asked me for the last sort of 2 years plus since we announced the transition of the U.S. business. You asked me if there was something transitional on the table, you know, would you consider it? And the answer is yes, and here we are. And this really means not going back in to compete in the U.S. automotive parts market. We left for all the right reasons, and we are joining the U.K. and European market for all the right reasons. And to do that and couple that with a company like Parts Alliance is nothing more than sort of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for us. So, again, we couldn't be more excited about the fit, and we're really looking forward to helping them grow this business and be part of the Uni-Select family. So I want to thank everybody, and you know, we're obviously happy to discuss this further as we move in the coming days and weeks, and wish everyone a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.